This is Jonathan Bingham. Welcome to Get Connected. I pray that God's Word will challenge you, encourage you, and equip you wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this audio presentation. This lesson series challenges us to define our desired destination, compare that with our current direction, recognize the decisions we have made that resulted in our direction, acknowledge the thoughts that shaped those decisions, and to take charge of the many factors that influence our thinking. It was presented to our adult Bible study at Eastside Church in Marietta, Georgia in the fall of 2015. God bless you as we study His Word. What I want for us to do this morning is to look at we'll look at a few verses, but we're really going to focus on one in Proverbs. If you want to go ahead and get your Bibles and turn to Proverbs, we'll be spending the most time in Proverbs 22. And what I want for us to do this morning is to really spend some time trying to nail down what we talked about last week. We're of course talking about the principle of the path. And the purpose of this lesson is to ask the question, where are you going? What is your destination? What's the outcome of your life, your activities, your actions, your habits, your direction? What is your direction? And we spent the last couple of weeks trying to ask questions that would attempt to uncover your direction. What do you do? What do you do with your time? What do you do when you get home? How are things going with the time with your spouse? What are your habits? All of those things define direction. And every time you have a direction, you will then be able to identify the outcome, the destination. All right? And so that's what we talked about the last couple of weeks, and we asked lots of questions, and I hope that you guys came up with answers. Some of the questions were like, what are your habits? What do you get home? What do you do when you get home every day? Do you have a budget? Do you save 10% of your income? Do you tithe? Do you have a quiet time daily? How do you eat? You know, just all sorts of really very practical things in many cases. Do you have quiet time? Do you have Bible study with your kids and your family? Those kinds of questions. And then one that I thought was really an important one is, after you take away sleeping and your job or, you know, in or outside the home, but after you take those things away, what do you spend the most time doing? I think that is a really, really important question to answer. Well, anyway, so I ask those questions to try to help us identify, okay, well, that's where I'm going. This is my direction. And that's all great. And I hope that you guys were able to pin some things down there. But this week I realized, you know, before we go on and go backwards up that chain of cause and effect, which if you'll remember, your destination, that's the final ultimate result. That is determined by your direction. Your direction is determined by your decisions. Your decisions are determined by your thoughts. Your thoughts are determined by a whole lot of things that pile into you, some of which we have control over, some of which we don't. Well, that's the progression we're taking with our lesson, is to go backwards, and we've been talking about that destination. We all have great plans and things and goal, you know, hopes and dreams and all that. Well, are we going to get there? Well, that's determined by that next step up, our direction, our habits, what we're doing. And so it was great that we were able, hopefully, to identify our direction. But identifying our direction, realizing that we're going north on 75 toward Chattanooga when our whole goal in life is to go to Tampa, it's great to realize that, but that's not enough. And this week I realized, you know what, before we go on and go up that progression, we need to stop and look at something really important. Verses that I love Proverbs. Man, I do spend tons of time. A significant percentage of my time in the Word is in Proverbs, and it's just incredible. There is so much wisdom there, and every time you open it, every time you read it, even though I'm certain I've read through Proverbs I don't know how many hundred times. Every time I open up the book of Proverbs, I learn something, I see something, I get something from it. It's just fantastic. And anyway, I have some favorites. One of them that's always been, it's one that I memorized a long time ago, in fact, Proverbs 14:12. It's funny, you know, if ever you see something that shows up in the scripture more than once, I always take special notice of that, because it's like, you know, God had this much room, and if he took time and space out of this limited document that he wanted to give us to repeat things, I think, wow, that must be pretty important. And this verse is actually repeated elsewhere in Proverbs. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof, in the King James, are the ways of death. In New American Standard, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that seems right, but the destination is death. There's a path. There's a direction that seems right, but the end is death. The destination is not where you want to be.
Are we all going to die? So
yes, but this the end is the way of death. It's talking about negative outcome. Just a negative outcome.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yep. And so there's a way that seems right. Our direction, where we're going, all the things that we put pins on the last 2 weeks, those are our directions. Some of them aren't going toward life. They are going toward death. And I recognized some in my life. That's great, but that's not enough. Let's look now at our key verse for today, Proverbs 22:3. Fantastic passage of Scripture, one that we would be well served to memorize, to know it, because it is so important. Proverbs 22:3. Would someone read that for us, please? All right, thank you. Anybody have NIV? Okay, Pamela, read that, please. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. That's what we're going to talk about today. Every one of us, whenever we identify a danger, have two choices. We can either recognize it and do something about it, or we can just keep right on going. The problem with what happens to us, may have happened to us the last 2 weeks while we've been here, is that we see a destination coming. We've identified it. Our direction is toward a destination that we don't want, but we haven't done anything about it. This verse identifies the tag that we can pin on ourselves, the label we can put on ourselves. We are either naive, foolish, or we are wise, prudent. And how do you know? What have you done with what we've studied so far? What have you done with it? By the way, one of the most discouraging things, and I have been an interim pastor. I've never been a real pastor, but I've been an interim pastor. I've been an education minister. I've been a youth pastor. I haven't ever been a music minister. I've been a college pastor. I've never been a director of children's studies. But I have been in most of the real positions of leadership in the church. And of course, when I went to the cemetery, my expectation was that I was going to come out the other end a pastor. And in that process, I discovered that I don't like people, and that's.
Oh.
Lydia, with your guests, oftentimes we're very honest in here to the point of exaggeration sometimes. Yes. Well, I would just, you know, if they ever were to come back, it would be under false pretenses. Sorry. And when I say that I don't like people, what I meant by saying that was that I don't have the heart of a pastor. that would be all the time, 24/7, caring about my flock, praying for them, thinking of them and all that. I don't have that heart. That is not me. Is that better? Okay. I don't like people. 24/7. But anyway, my point of all that is that I have been in teaching and preaching situations thousands of times in the past years and years and years. And one of the things that is so discouraging to me, and it's also discouraging to me when I put myself in the shoes of whoever is standing in front of us that day in our pulpit, wherever I am, is to realize, you know, they got a word from God. They brought it, they preached it, and in many cases, God spoke to me, God spoke to many in the congregation, but nobody did a stinking thing with it. We left just the same as we were when we got there, and it, you know, it could be, and I love listening to Andy Stanley, and every time I do, I think, oh, goodness, and see, that's the problem with being religious, being church people. Is that, you know, we think, oh, people who ignore God's, you know, speaking to them, well, that's lost people. Well, what do we do with it? Well, we go to church, and we sit there, oh, and, you know, we shake the hands with the preacher. Wow, that was a great sermon. You really stepped on some toes today or something like that, or God really spoke to me, and we feel sad. We might even cry, but we feel moved by the sermon and all that, and we walk away, and if we were to ask you that next week, what do you do with it? Nothing. This verse has a label for us when we act that way. We are fools. We are naive. We are simple. Not the right group to be in, by the way, in case there's any question. That's not the good group. And we just go right on doing what we were doing. Even though now we know, and that's even worse, right? It's even worse because we know what we should be doing, and yet we continue on that same path. This scripture, two groups. The prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going and suffer for it. So which group are you? You know, I've identified, things in my life, direction, that will have a destination that I do not want. But what have I done with it? And what have you done with what God has shown you? That's the problem with this kind of stuff, is that we don't do anything with it. It's like, yes, we believe in the principle of gravity. But if we jump off of a roof anyway, all the praying in the world isn't going to keep you from hitting the ground. And so oftentimes we get ourselves in trouble because we set this direction, and God may have pointed to us in Bible studies, in church, with your friends, with your parents. Are you sure you should be doing that? And we think, no, you're right. I really need to quit that. Should you be drinking that much? No, you know what? I've got to cut back. Do you really need to buy that? Why can't you buy this, which costs a third of that, and be happy with that? Are you sure? And yeah, you're right. But then we go right on. And then at the end of that path, when we're broke, when we're an alcoholic, when our marriage is destroyed, etc., we say, God, how could you let this happen to me? And he's like, you jumped off the top of a building. What did you expect to happen except to hit the ground? The principle of the path is just like the fact of gravity, the law of gravity. You will end up where your path takes you. If you're on the path in this direction, you're not going to end up back there. The principle, it can't be broken. It happens every single time. And so all of a sudden, we're 10 feet from the ground, and we start praying and praying and praying. And we start saying, God, how could you let this happen to me? They just, you broke my principle. You're getting the results of it. And there That was your choice. Pamela. Yeah, and Proverbs talks about both of those people.
Crash and not burn. You know, and too many of us are protected from the choices we make. They affect other people that are not in our circle. We don't even know. And that's what we're not even aware of.
Yeah. Andy Stanley is the one that I've gotten a lot of this content from, and he talks about people driving as fast as they can toward a wall, but thinking that somehow when they get there, they're not going to crash. And yet, what's going to happen, right? So what does this mean? Wise people, how do wise people make decisions? Wise people realize that life is connected, that there's cause and effect. Simple people can't connect the dots about the future. They don't realize that they have an intention to go to point A, and yet their path is toward point B, that when they do that, that they don't understand that they're not going to end up there where they want to go. Wise people make decisions based on the future outcomes. Future outcomes. So an important part of this is the idea of discernment. I'm sure that I think about things that just seem so weird to you. One of the things that I often spend time thinking about is, you know, like in a plane crash or in a car crash or some bad thing that happens, I always try to think, what was the last thing right before it was inevitable? What was the very the penultimate thing right before that outcome was sealed, absolutely going to happen? And in fact, there are shows about that, right? The shows about plane crashes, where they dig into exactly what happened. And every time, seldom, I'll be careful not to say make an absolute statement here, seldom is there just something happens and it's over. Every time that I can think of, there was always a sequence of events building up to that, that at any point, if someone would have seen, identified the future back here, there was an opportunity to change the future. There was still a chance to keep that horrible outcome from happening. And, you know, plane crashes are horrible, especially when you fly a lot. You know, I don't know if you obsess about it more, but I always really intensely look at shows about plane crashes. One of the worst that I have seen, studied about, was the one of the, it was an Air France Airbus 330, I think it was, flying from Rio to Paris. This was about 5 years ago-ish. And the plane crashed over the Atlantic Ocean. And it took them forever to find the black box because the ocean there was really, really deep. But they finally found it. And what they realized was that there was that sequence of events. And at any point, there was an opportunity to change that outcome from what I can't imagine the horrific experience for everybody on board. Everybody died, of course. But so many points. I mean, what was the problem? Their pitot tubes froze over. That was the problem. That doesn't crash airplanes. You can fly without pitot tubes. So that wasn't the ultimate cause of the crash. The ultimate cause of the crash was a young, co-pilot. But even he wasn't the cause of the crash. One other aspect of it was that when they brought the experienced captain back up to the cockpit, because on an Airbus, the controls aren't duplicated on both sides as far as if you move this one doesn't move. On Boeing airplanes, you move it over here, this one moves too, so you can see what the other pilot's doing. On an Airbus, not the case. They have a little joystick. And the co-pilot was over there with it pulled all the way back, trying to keep the plane from crashing, and what he was doing was stalling the thing. But when the main captain came back up, he couldn't tell that that was what was going on. He couldn't, because he couldn't notice that that wasn't evident from the controls there on that Airbus. But at so many points, there was the opportunity for someone to change direction and prevent that crash. Anyway, so I think about that. I think about that kind of stuff. And I wonder, in relationships, they're on the rocks. But I wonder, where was that final point of no return? And what happened right before it? As we, over the last 2 weeks, have identified direction in some cases is not good, is not towards God's desired outcome, toward our desired outcome, I wonder for some of those how close we are to the point of no return, to that point where we no longer will have a chance to see the danger and take refuge. We'll no longer have a chance to make a decision that will head off that destination. Back to the metaphor, when will we finally get to the point that there are no more exits between you and Chattanooga, so that there's no more chance to turn around and go back? Makes it sound like Chattanooga is a horrible place to go, doesn't it? Yeah, I know. Wow. Wow. Wise people make decisions based on the future outcomes. Simple people only on what they see today. There may come a time, though, that you no longer have good options. There comes a point when every option sounds bad. Every option is going to be painful. Every option is going to be a bad outcome. But you can stop now. You can turn now. There will come a time when you can pray all day long. Not going to change the fact. Not going to change the fact. You are just receiving the expected outcome of that principle. All right. I've been doing a lot of talking. Yeah, I have. I would like to hear from you guys. What do you think? This Proverbs 22:3, what does that say to you? Any thoughts? One of the things that I thought about doing to you today was making you get into groups and talk about what I know. See, that's why I didn't. But I thought about it, and this is what I was going to ask you to do. What would be some examples of a prudent person seeing danger and taking refuge versus the simple who keep going and are punished for it? Anyone? They could be hypothetical. Yeah. In fact, we can say they're all hypothetical. That really would really. Well, what I was hoping to use the physical examples for were just to help us think, using those to apply them to the decisions about life. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that those kind of cases, Jill, are even asking for it. For us to have that kind of pride, which is what that is, opens the door for the enemy. It's shocking. We would be shocked if we were to realize how close we are to really, really big mistakes. You've heard the saying there, but for the grace of God go I. Yeah, I think that we don't acknowledge that fact. Yes. Yes. Yep. Did somebody over here have something? Were you going to say something? Other thoughts about this? Well, what I want to do now is say, okay, well, let's once again look at those directions that we have identified in our lives. What can we do? What can we do? And I want to give just four really, really practical steps to take. The key in Proverbs 22:3 is that the prudent do something. That's the difference. I mean, if you were to compare the simple and the prudent, the wise and the fool, in that verse, the basic difference is that the wise person does something, and the fool just keeps right on going, does nothing. And so the first really practical thing for us to recognize is that, okay, whatever it was, whatever God put his finger on as we've spent this last 2 weeks talking about our direction, the very first thing to do is to take action, to do something. I mentioned it before, and here they are now, not here again, but when identified in their family direction that they could point to the end of it and say, that is a horrible outcome, and unfortunately, it doesn't look too far away. We're close to that point of no return. God got their attention, and they had a choice. They could have done nothing, and what would have happened? I think that we can pretty well predict where the path was for them. But what did they do? They took action. They made some very wise, very difficult decisions, and they took action and started living them out. One of them has been being here and having their kids here, which I promise you will have an impact on the direction for every single person in that family. They have changed their direction. They did a U-turn in some really important ways. They fit this passage in Proverbs perfectly. They took action. And I'll tell you, it is incredibly difficult sometimes to the quote that we have been working through in this study as well, bad habits are easy to make but hard to live with. Good habits are difficult to make but easy to live with. Taking action can make a big difference, but it can be really hard. And how about this for something to add to that? I suggest that the closer we are to that point of no return, the harder it is. So a difficult decision today with action to change it will be less difficult than if you wait and try to do it later. The longer you wait, the harder it's going to be. Take action. And so, like I was talking about earlier, you know, the pastors and teacher, you know, the discouragement of God bringing a message to someone and us not doing anything with it. Can we turn this around in our lives? Can we actually do something with this? I pray that we can. Take action. That's step number one. Realize that there may be sacrifice involved. You're probably going to have to give stuff up. Many of the things that we would be talking about would be things that would require a sacrifice of your time, sacrifice of your pleasure, you know, having to do something you don't want to do or stopping doing something that you enjoy. It might cost us friends. in a future Sunday, Lord willing, when we get up to the very top of this progression that we're discussing, going through, we're going to talk about friends and how they are part of the things that result in our thoughts that we actually do have control over. Taking action to turn around, to go in a different direction could cost us friends. Might even cost us our job. It could cost us our lifestyle. If we're on a path of financial ruin, part of that's because living in a house that's too big, too nice, too expensive, driving a car that's too nice, too expensive, too new, going on trips that we can't afford, and all that stuff, we might have to move to get right. You might have to sell your car. I love Dave Ramsey and his financial principles. I love hearing him talk about people who finally got committed, right? Making the hard choices, taking action to turn their financial situation around. Oftentimes, part of that is selling their house, getting into a smaller house or even a rent house for a while. Part of that, oftentimes, is selling the car that has a loan on it, that they're paying however much in interest, etc. Selling that car, and he calls it buying a beater. An old piece of junk car that works. It's ugly, has no status. Not only doesn't impress people when you drive up, but they're thinking, ew, I wish you'd get that out of my neighborhood, right? You don't belong here driving that thing. And other steps, changing how we eat, going out to eat all the time, which is incredibly expensive. And instead, and he says it this way, rice and beans and rice. Those are the two dinner options. Which, by the way, I would personally love. And, I mean, think about it. It's good for you, and it's cheap. I mean, crud, you can eat for $1 a day, eating beans and rice and rice and beans. And you'd be a whole lot healthier for it at the end, I bet. Though not necessarily as fun to be around. Sorry. But the point is, if you're on the path to financial ruin, you're going to have to give some stuff up. You're going to have to start changing what you do. Stop spending money every time you see something you want. And that's hard, because you can actually become addicted to spending money and having money and having nice stuff, having a great lifestyle. It's a matter of pride. It's a matter of pleasure. Sometimes it feeds our inner sense of not feeling good about ourselves, so we buy stuff and have stuff, all that. Got to give it up. Got to give it up. So it may take sacrifice for you to make the changes that God's wanting you to make. But if disaster is at the end of the path you're on, you got to do it. It's the pain you're going to experience today is far less than the pain you will experience if you keep going down the current path. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple are the ones who keep going and they suffer for it. Okay, next. It may cause even some embarrassment. You may have to go to some people and say, listen, I know that I promised that I was going to do this. You know, I told you that whatever. I can't do that. God is wanting me to change some stuff, and I can't do this anymore. You might have to go to somebody. I hope not in here, but you might have to go to somebody and say, I'm sorry. I can't continue our relationship because we're not there yet, but the direction that we're headed is going to end in a destination that I can't live with. And instead of just letting it go because today it seems innocent, I'm going to stop, even as embarrassing as that might be. or with others outside,
others
outside of your marriage.
You hear a lot about how people have affairs, usually with someone they work with, right? Or often.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it all starts innocent and then it progresses. Relationships are always moving.
Yeah, and the fool looks at how it looks today. Well, we're not having sex today, so it must be okay. The wise person looks at the destination. Every time we're together, we share a little bit more. We open up a little bit more. I feel a little more tempted to do this or that. There's a little bit more flirting each time. We've progressed from having break time to going to lunch together. But it's a public place, it's okay. What's the destination of that path? It's obvious. But it hurts to give that up because there's something that feels good about that relationship. And yet, we've got to stop. Give it up. It might even be embarrassing because for them, I mean, crud. It doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? We're not doing anything wrong. Why are you stopping this? So it might cause embarrassment. But here's the great thing, and I can't overstate this. When you have something in your life that you know the destination is wrong and bad, and you don't want to go there, and you finally take action, you do whatever it takes, you give up whatever it is, regardless of the cost. The relief that comes after that is precious and indescribable. So it's going to be hard. But it's less hard today than the destination would be. You know that's true. But there's also such joy at the relief that you feel once you've not just agreed with God, yeah, that's wrong. Boy, I need to stop doing that. But once you actually get off the freeway, do a U-turn, and get back going the other direction, then is when you feel the relief. And it is worth it. It is worth it. All right, a prayer that I will give you would help daily to pray. Three things. God, please help us to see the danger ahead far, far before we get there. Help us to see danger a long way away. Wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. God, please help us to see danger a long, long way away. Wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. Three really important things in that prayer. God, give me discernment. Give me wisdom. Give me courage. One more time. God, please help us to see the danger a long way away. Wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. I think that that'd be a great prayer to pray every day. But we've got to decide, what are we going to be, the wise person or the fool? What good is it going to do if God answers this prayer and shows you the danger a long, long way off, and yet you're simple, you're naive, you're a fool, and you just keep right on going? Yeah, God, you're right. Thank you for showing me that. But yet we just keep right on going. God, help us. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. God, thank you for your word. And Lord, even as I teach through this, you know in my heart the direction that you've put your finger on. And I pray, help me to be wise. Help me to take action. Help me to turn around. Lord, I pray for each one in here. Likely each one of us has at least one thing where it's clear, you've put your finger on it. Our direction is wrong. The way from you and your ways, your will. It's even in the wrong direction for our own dreams and goals. God, help us not to just have good intentions. Help us not to just recognize it, feel bad, feel conviction, but then to continue going on that same path. I pray, Lord, that you would show us, help us to see a long way off the danger ahead. Please give us the wisdom to know what to do. And then, God, most importantly today, please give us the courage to do it. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.